T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wow. Tell you what, these games are like, especially just go to the second half, or if you don't have time, go to the fourth quarter, because these games have been just unbelievable to talk about. And as you know now, Jimmy Butler talking about culture. He just threw a Pat Riley in there and Spo coaches him up. That's what I just heard. And it's all about winning. And they get the right kind of guys. And I was like, damn, it's incredible, isn't it? You hear all that stuff and you hear about all these other teams. Guys don't really care or don't seem to care. Check out. Can't get along. Blame each other and all that stuff. And then
Joe, can we just call him Jimmy Fourth Quarter? Can we just change the last name instead of Butler to Jimmy Fourth Quarter? Because somehow, some way, if he's not having the game that a star should have, and we've seen it before with Jimmy, and it's not the biggest deal in the world where he's just not scoring or putting everything into it until, I don't want to say putting everything.
No, that's not right. He puts all into it, yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, when you need something, a defensive play, two defensive stops, a basket here, a big play, whatever it is, it just seems like Jimmy's there in the fourth quarter more than I've ever seen. Without being the star in a game. He scored 14 points. Like, it's not like this guy had the game on his back or the heat on his back. 14 points, yet in the fourth quarter, defensively, offensively, when something was needed, Jimmy Butler was there.
Well, listen, there's a whole bunch to get to, and I'd ask you guys, you know, everybody had their favorite play during that game, whether you're a dragon hitting two of those shots he hit late, I thought the play of the game was Jimmy Butler, the save, stopped their mo. They had flipped things around, and he makes a steal, saves it, flips it back to his guys. They end up getting the layup, and I thought that those plays were just unbelievable. Bam, of course, in the third quarter. So what was the one play? It's hard to do this because Dragon and Jimmy were so good in the fourth quarter, and everybody knows that if you watch the game. Just give me the one play as you woke up this morning and went, damn, man, that was a turning point, or that was the clutch shot.
Hard not to say that Jimmy behind the back save from out of bounds. And then to get the little dunk afterwards also, and just continue the momentum for the Heat and continue. That might have been the backbreaker for this Heat team when it comes to the Celtics. I don't know. There were so many good plays in the fourth quarter.
I was just looking. There was a bunch. Listen, man, Dragon right. shots with no right. time left. He hit one from downtown, came back. He was sensational. Jimmy's defensive plays, and then, of course, Jimmy shooting free throws. Jimmy actually got a nice, easy layup when things were tough to get. And then the whole team stuff of their great defense. That zone looks like they're playing with seven guys at times. And then I think the part that really gets you, and we've seen this throughout the playoffs in different games, when you have a big lead and the team keeps coming back. So I think right now the Celtics are going, now I know what the Clippers are going through. Jeez. Like, we think we got them. We're putting it on them. And the next thing you know, the outscore's 37-17 in the third, and we're friggin' down. And, like, here we go, and you just see it. And then, of course, the big blow-up. Marcus Smart and the big blow-up after the game. But yeah, there was a lot of winning plays. Celtics end up turning the ball over 20 times. I will say this, just watching the game. The Celtics make some real soft, lazy-ass passes. Like, with Jimmy Butler, I see Jimmy Butler drooling. Like, you're really not going to throw that soft-ass pass towards where I'm defending. I know you're not doing that. And there's just not – it's just kind of real casual. And, of course, nobody chews them up more than the Heat did last night. And, again, their confidence is out of this world. By the way, and quietly, they're 10-1 now in the playoffs, which
– holy moly.
Somebody would have told you the Heat, as their two games – I thought they had a chance to get where they are right now, but to go 10-1, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, again, hey, saying it's crazy, and both teams went on great runs in that fourth quarter. Like, you couldn't make that up. I thought Jimmy's play was the big one that we're all talking about, the save on the steal. Because that stopped the mo for Boston. They got on a roll and they were knocking shots down, and you're like, oh boy. And then he kind of stopped it with that big play. But you go back and forth on those runs, and then Celtics still had a chance to tie that thing. Jaylen Brown had a great look.
Wide open look, really.
At a three in the corner after he had just knocked down some ridiculous threes before that. So man, last night, if what we're just yapping about didn't give you the roller coaster winning great feeling, then if you're able to go to sleep right after that, man, I actually had to calm down by going to Thursday Night Football just to take a deep breath and like going, okay, I'm not emotionally attached to this one. I'm just going to watch the two quarterbacks. And
well, unfortunately for me, I was emotionally attached to that game because I had Nick Chubb going in fantasy football. So when he gets stopped at the goal line a couple times right after the Heat game, kind of brings me back to earth for a second or two until he gets back in the end zone. But you're right. It's amazing how after that game, I had to turn something else on to calm myself down now. Two times in a row now in the last three nights. There's just no – if anyone has the elixir to tell me how to go to sleep right after one of these games, I'd love to know what they do.
I think it's proven that – if you're like really into something and you're watching something you're a fan of, I think that doctors tell you, like, when you go to bed and people say they go to bed and they turn the TV on, which is a habit that usually you can't go right to sleep. But I have some shows that have helped me during the day when I want to take a nap. There's something like golf's great. If it has to be a sporting event, I recommend tennis matchups you don't care about. Like right now, they're playing on the clay courts. Beautiful. If you want to go to Tennis Channel, or you can go to golf, and that will work. And I've found those two sports to be two of the will help you get to sleep if you just have to have your TV
something
on.
Right.
But don't stay with your local teams. That's a different animal. No question about it. Makes it a lot more difficult. Anyway. Hey, listen, man, that was fun to watch. We got a lot more stuff going on. We got a big old weekend, and I'm just wondering which transfer portal players and veteran free agents are going to show up this weekend. Who are we going to be talking about when Monday rolls around for the Canes playing in a big, big – I can tell you one thing. There was no way the Canes thought they were going to be the show in week two or week three, whatever we want to call this officially – of college football. They were going to be the big show Saturday night. So it's time, as they jump on that plane today, to put those big boy pants on and get ready to roll, man, because you got one game. Nobody's going to want to hear about it. Here we go. We got transfer portal. We got a lot of guys that have been around the program. Who's going to show up when those lights get real bright in Louisville? Who's going to show up and play well? Last year, they absolutely embarrassed the Cardinals. Just put 50 on them. Felt like they could have put 70 on them. They just had it rolling. Well, it was their best offensive game of the season. Just took them out of it. So this is a lot different. Louisville played really well at the end of the last year. Got a lot of good guys. Got a lot of South Florida guys. Going to want a little payback for guys that they went to high school with and played against. So this will be a fun one. And we'll see what happens, but it is I hate to say it, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but for the first ACC game, and you're the big show, just because of the way the scheduling, who's playing and who's not playing and who's had to postpone games, it is the Canes and Cardinals. And you're the show, and boy, that means everybody in the country. It's not a 30% of the country gets to see it.
No.
Everybody will get to see this, and so... Boy, really, really a big game for this Canes team from top to bottom, for recruits, for guys that are sophomores going into their junior year, for juniors going into their senior year, for young horse, big horses out there thinking about Miami on the list. You want to put on a show. You want to see it, get the wide receiver position going, and everything else. Of course, De'Aaron King probably feeling it more than anybody because he's going to be the most talked about guy in this game. And then on Sunday, what can the Dolphins do, man? And it's time. We got a game under our belt. We got to see a lot of guys made a lot of money last year show up and start to play. It's time. Can you stop the run? We're going to talk hopefully to Bobby McCain this morning. We'll talk about all that stuff as well. So a lot of really, really fun stuff going on that we're going to have on the show today. And nothing better than what took place with the Gorn and Jimmy show,
wow,
especially in the fourth quarter last night. There's just so many things. Spoelstra probably not going to get a lot of credit today because it's always about the players.
Right.
But Spo mixing up, and I hear Van Gundy go, you know, the Celtics haven't figured out this zone defense has really messed them up. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a small, like, you got two former coaches, and I hear Van Gundy go, they're really struggling with that zone defense right now. Like, they haven't figured out the Heat zone defense. It's really messing them up. And they went ice cold on threes. I don't know how many the Celtics missed in a row. I don't know what that final number. They kept popping up numbers. Would they miss 9 or 10 in a row? Some stupid number of threes, yet they kept taking them. And it really allowed the Heat to get rolling again. But just what a crazy game of runs, highs and lows, and then the Heat just once again turned it back on through defense and got it going their way again. And it was like Jimmy will make the defensive plays, Gorn will make the shots, and then if you foul Jimmy Butler, I don't know if there's any better in these playoffs, more of a clutch free throw shooter at the end of these games than Jimmy Butler.
He continues to remind you of Dwayne Wade late in these games, the way that he plays, doesn't he?
Right.
I mean, Dwayne would always hit a big three when needed. You know, Dwayne's not a great three-point shooter. Jimmy's the same way. You know, he goes to the basket. He has similar moves. It just really reminds you of Dwayne. But let me throw this out at you guys. I'm just curious what you think. It felt to me that Boston spends so much time, almost similar to the Bucks, worrying about the officials and trying to draw contact and trying to get to the line and complaining about calls and flopping, and it just feels like that aspect of their game is just, it, I don't know if it throws them off, but it seems to be a problem for them. They spend so much time worrying about, you know, contact and the officials and all that, and the Heat just go out and play.
I think, so there, that's, by the way, it is a good point, the frustration. I think when you lose big leads and you realize the other team's shooting 30-something percent and you can't run away and blow them out of the gym, and then they come back in the third and outscore you 37-17.
Oof.
I think it does to your psyche when you build up this lead and you're going, well, all right, we're still up 13 at the half. Damn, shot 50-something percent. All right, but, you know, we're still up 13. And then they come out and that lead is gone.
Wiped away.
Right. I mean, that thing is gone. I was wondering if the Celtics were going to get to 10 points in that third quarter. And Bam's just getting dunks. He's getting alley-oops. He's getting the easiest baskets. He goes off in the third. I just think it's like, here they go again. This is what they've been doing. And so I just think all that stuff comes in. You know, we're sitting here trying to figure out what the hell happened to the Clippers. And now you're going, somebody else might be feeling a little Clipperish these days.
Right.
The Celtics. I mean, they've had some nice leads and they've had their chances to win these games. And they're now down, and they can do the math on this, 2-0. I don't know where their psyche is after it finally blew up in the locker room. I'm sure they're going to come out and play, you know, and we'll have another close game. But if you can't beat somebody, and this happens over and over, I don't care how strong you are, it gets in your head, man. It gets in your head. You don't think in the NFL playoffs, Kansas City Chiefs came back on everybody. It was like, they score. They were down double digit to everybody, and they're going, oh no, here they go. First score. Oh no, here they go. I think you change the way you play, and you're expect. You know, you can say how mentally tough you are. I think you almost expect, like, oh, God, here we go again. I think your brain just says, oh, here we go. They're making a friggin' run. We've seen this before. Oh, geez.
Blow big leads like that. And
so the next time it happens.
Right? Well, it did feel like Boston had a few chances to put the Heat away early in that game, right? And Miami just kind of, they hang around and they just keep coming at you. And I mean, Boston, I mean, again, I felt they had a couple of chances to put Miami away in that game.
Well, didn't you think at the end of the game also when Celtics went back up five? You know, like all of a sudden the momentum shifted all the way back to Boston.
I thought the turnover.
I thought at no point in that second half was Boston going to win that game. I just think Miami's just at this point, again, is just too tough. And Boston has in their head, you know, not only that Miami's coming at them, but I think the officiating thing is in their head too, because it's such a big part of their game, is trying to initiate contact and trying to work that part of the game. Whereas Miami, they just keep coming, and they play physical basketball, and they don't let that stuff bother them, and that speaks to, you know, good coaching as well, I think.
Earlier in the game, too, didn't you think that Kemba Walker, because he started to get a little bit hot early in the game, I thought that maybe this is the comeback game for him. Like, this would be it after basically coming out to the media and saying, I stunk and I played like crap, and then Kemba Walker early in the game, you thought, oh, maybe, and the Heat went, you know, down pretty big,
yeah,
13.
I didn't even read into it. I didn't read into it.
I thought he was coming back and having a comeback.
Show me how you play in the fourth quarter.
Well,
show me how you play
quarter,
late.
Right.
And those early numbers are just a different deal. Crazy game last night. 305-567-0560. I just thought the one play, I never thought I'd come in and say the one defensive play, though, after the Celtics got on one of their runs and the Heat went ice cold for a few minutes there. The play and the save, keeping the ball in bounds and getting the easy layup, really turned that game around late. Anyway.
I know we have to go to break, Joe, but Jimmy Butler's climbing up. You know that list we always do of the best players in the NBA?
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Butler's climbing up that list.
Yeah, Jimmy's
ahead of Kawhi Leonard, by the way, in my mind. Like,
God,
I told you guys yesterday, I don't even think it's close at this point. But
Mister, what have you done for me lately? Because
right,
that's how I feel about
guy's
you.
A winner.
We
He's just
go
a
to
winner.
Break.
He closes games.
I know. And Kawhi's never done.
Just
that.
A reminder, Kawhi is still a defending champion
at home.
I'm just saying.
Hey, let's do this. Let's go to break here before Hollywood decides to start back on somehow getting back to Kawhi Leonard today, who has got a couple of beautiful rings in different cities. I don't know which one he likes better, the San Antonio ones, or does he like maybe the one in Toronto? I'll tell you what I like best early on a Friday morning. I get all fired up, South Florida Chevy dealers. This is a weekend through football games and basketball and everything going on. You're going, man, this is a weekend. I've been talking about it, my lease. I just want to get something new. I want to see what's out there in the market. You know, for more space, new look, something I really enjoy driving. My family's getting older, need more space, whatever it is. Boy, your South Florida Chevy dealers, we think we've nailed it in 2020 is bottom line. We got the Chevy Open Road Sale event this weekend. Again, get on out there, spend a little time, especially if you haven't seen Chevy lately and haven't been to a dealership. Boy, you're gonna be, and listen, I know you know the Suburban and the Tahoe and all those beautiful, durable Silverado trucks. You know they're all part of the Chevy family and a very popular part of the Chevy family. But I want to talk about some of our smaller SUVs, which people seem to be driving more these days. We love our 2020 Traverse. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a smaller, it's a mid-sized SUV, but it's still spacious enough to accommodate that big family that's grown of yours and doesn't compromise any of that great look, style, and all the things important to you and your family. Just because it gets a little bit smaller than that Tahoe doesn't mean it's not safe. We got great safety features and all the things, and just a fantastic look. Hey, listen, take that 2020 Traverse for a look, and if that's you want something even smaller, well, we got that for you too. Our small SUV, the Equinox SUV. Oh, the technology, the active safety features, really is fun to drive. You're going to enjoy taking for a test drive this weekend. And finally, that 2020 Chevy Blazer. Oh, super sexy. Boy, they got the Blazer figured out in 2020. You're going to love it. If you got some time, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. We got dealerships Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Make a stop. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer this weekend.
Okay. The simulation just went.
All right, 560 The Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of the Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to finscu.com. That's FINSCU.com. Want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets? Log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM. Also streaming on the radio.com app.
We're just talking about this Celtics team and going back to and being able to work in the business, going back in TV and radio to the old Celtics and Heat games, when those Celtic teams were really easy to dislike, especially with Kevin Garnett. Well, there were three of them.
Garnett, Pierce, Rondo.
Yes.
In whatever order you want to put them.
Whatever. They were really easy guys. Right. I mean, they openly like, and I guess you got to give them credit, like they didn't like the Heat either, and they made no bones about it. So it was just, you know, but this group, we were just talking about like Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart doesn't bother me. I mean, we were talking and Hollywood said he really drives him nuts. And I said, you know, I mean, if he was on our team, you'd love him. I mean, he'd fit right in with what the Heat like to do. Now, I don't know how, you know, blowing up or, but then again, I don't know what the culture, once you get under this place, if that would happen, like he did last night, we were able, it's not easy to do after a game, but had some video and audio sent to us of Marcus Smart in the locker room after the game.
Talk about every time where I lose my cool one time. We're gonna talk about it, huh? Is that what we're gonna do? I felt one pissed, all right? I lost my cool. We're gonna talk about it, huh? I busted my ass out there. But every thing I kick, you think I'm pissed? I'm pissed. Ooh. All right? Right, I'm pissed. Right, I lost my cool because I did. I lost my cool. Are you happy? I lost it. And I'm just lost it again. I'm pissed. Right, I'm pissed. That's my job out there. You get pissed when something happens to your job. That's my job. That's my living. I'm pissed. Right,
I'm pissed. Right, I blew up. I'll give a what you're right. Oh, whoa. Man, no, not the chair. Well, listen, you know, that's going to happen. The frustration of having a lead, losing it, and still getting it back late in the game.
Right.
And lose it again. So there was a lot of frustration from Marcus Smart with his teammates last night, left and was very upset even outside the locker room as he walked by and he was still screaming and yelling when the media was there. So we're able to get some of that stuff, but not real happy.
Sounded like a chair at the end, huh?
Threw a chair. Wow. You hope when a guy's mad, he's smart enough not to throw the chair and get it close to any of the players because, you know, nobody wants to get hit by a chair, you know, especially after you've lost a game.
Right, right, right.
And that might be calling out the man card to like, okay, we may have to go at it now because you can't control your temper. But anyway, yeah, so, wow, what a game, man. I don't know, these last two games, I thought Jimmy Butler was unbelievable. Like, after the game, he goes, we get winning players. Start with Pat Riley, knows how to pick them.
Right.
He got some Pat in there.
Of course
he Riley did. At the top. When you do that, like, Riley knows how to pick players. They put them together. Play hard. We're all here for one thing to win. This is your best player. Now, this is your best player saying all that stuff. And then Spo coaches them up, and we trust everything, and it's all about winning. By the way, they got guys not even playing over there cheering, like cheerleaders, like everybody's in on this, and why not?
Did you hear Van Gundy, I guess it was at one point in the second or third quarter, talk about the Myers-Leonard, you know, situation?
Yes.
And he just said he was the loudest and most, like, outlandish guy on the bench for the Heat is Myers-Leonard, and talk about a guy that honestly could be pouting. Because he started so many games during the season.
Started a lot of games, he and Nunn.
Look what happened now, right? Like, and all of a sudden, he's nothing. He's not playing at all. Zero, zero, zeros. And it's just, wow. And Van Gundy pointing that out, saying, this is just what the Heat team is right now.
The culture, man.
Right, right.
A lot of teams talk culture. That's a hot word for everybody. We're trying to get that winning culture. We're building a winning culture. He's part of what we need to get this culture the way we want. You hear it from everybody. Everybody's picked it up. But I think somehow, more than anybody, Pat Riley should own that word culture. I do.
Right,
I just
right.
think it's his, what
well,
they
he has
do.
He's the trademark on a couple other things too, right? Like three-peat and stuff like that. Like, he's no dummy. He should have gotten heat culture.
You're not
and,
supposed
by the way,
to say that, by the way. You got to send him money now.
Well, when you say culture?
No, when you say 3P, you actually owe
no,
him
he,
money.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll put a dollar in the jar for him.
Yeah, please do.
Did you see Gorin come off the court last night and Butler when they both got interviewed post-game by, I think it was ESPN and someone else did, and the security guy that's been around that team for about 10,000 years that everybody knows when you see that bench pointed up into kind of the crowd, and who they point to, of course, the Pat Riley contingent of people sitting in whatever booth they were sitting in up top to point and say hello and kind of wave at them also. That's the Pat Riley effect on this team also.
Yeah.
He's there. You better say what's up to him.
Hey, man, you never know. Like, you never know how it's all going to come together, right? You never know how people are going to play under these circumstances. And last night, we've seen Dragan put up some really nice. He's had a ton of 20-point games in this bubble. But, boy, he hit a couple of shots last night. Downtown, clock running down, threw it up and hit nothing but the bottom of the net, man. It was clean. And then, you know, we can go on and on about the biggest plays of the game. But these guys, I can't even imagine the demons for the Boston Celtics getting up today going, we are down 2-0, and we've had two double-digit friggin' leads on these guys, and they won't go away. So anyway, a lot of crazy stuff. By the way, a lot more stuff coming up because guess what? Miami Hurricanes and the Miami Heat going to be playing at the same time, so you can flip it. Hopefully you got a double TV and you can flip that. By the way, if you have that, you got a special wife. I just wanted to say this, and I always say this. If you've got a wife and she says, hey, in your own room or if you want to put this in the one room and you want to put two or three TVs in there next to each other so you can watch all the sporting events because I know that's your job or you're just a big sports fan, that's a special lady.
That's a keeper, right.
So
you don't have that, do you, Joe?
No, I have it only in my office. So right. My wife let me throw my ego all over my office. And said, but there's no signs of any sports outside of this office, nothing. Nothing. When I say nothing, no beautiful old pictures of the Orange Bowl made it. No, doesn't care. But the office is made up of
the man cave
of a lot of stuff. Now I want to say this, and I don't get a chance to do this, and I don't think he'll care too much. But so I went to Goldie's one day, and out in the main room, Goldie got a beautiful home. Out right next to the kitchen. Goldie says, come on, sit down. So I go over and sit down. We were just shooting a breeze, and I worked with Steve for a long time. I look up, and I go, no way.
He's the three-TV setup, doesn't he?
So he's got the big TV.
Right.
And then a couple of smaller TVs. And once you get used to, like, if you're not used to watching TV that way, it takes a while. Now, I worked at NBC where you got TVs everywhere, so you kind of zone in on one. And then when they go to break, you zone in on another. But I went, wow, Steve Goldstein, you and the wife goes, yeah, no, you get you. She was, I go, and by the way, Goldie got just a beautiful, beautiful wife. Great. And this guy, he's the guy. I don't know anybody else there. No, I don't want to hear about your man cave because we've had pictures and I've seen dolphin man caves that are unbelievable. Where guys just go out in this other room and you're like, they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars with the bar, TVs, everything. It looks like a miniature home sports bar. But Goldie, I don't know how many of you let you bring your sports junkie world out into the other part of the house with extra TVs. Then you know you have a wife that is so attractive, so beautiful, like in the middle of a winning jump shot. I love you, man. I just love you. We got to go to break, man. We got a big old show coming up. A lot of stuff to get to. We got an early blue this morning. We got some high school news to get to here, including two of the best teams playing each other tonight. People going, what? Yep, two of the best teams in South Florida going to play each other. We'll have more on that story. Bobby McCain, we're going to give him another shot, see if we can get that phone rolling this morning. So we'll get to all that stuff. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Breaking it all down after some unbelievable plays on a night where he didn't do a lot of scoring. But, boy, in those stats, they don't talk a lot about. His defensive plays were unbelievable. Celtics turned the ball over 20 times on some real lazy, dopey passes that they made last night. And Jimmy Butler chewed them up and really flipped that game around after. That game had a lot of mood swings in it last night, man. That thing was all over. None bigger than that third quarter. 37-17. Just absolutely took care of that double-digit lead for the Celtics that they had at half. Just said, no, your little 60-47 halftime lead is gone. And had the big quarter. So anyway, hey, we'll have a lot more. Talk about the Heat being up 2-0. Now 10-1 in the playoffs in the bubble, which still sounds crazy. I think of Moses Malone going fo fo fo, and what they've been able to do so far has been just amazing. So the other story last night, Thursday night football. Yeah, man, I wanted to see what old Joe Burrow looked like last night, and a game of the first overall picks in two of our recent drafts, in Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield. Joe Burrow threw the ball 61 times. 61 times last night. And I got to tell you something. He's a lot better than that group he's playing with.
Oh, yeah.
So my take is this on that guy. By the way, I knew it was coming. He finally said it after the game. He goes, man, just lost my friggin' second game. This sucks. He goes, I didn't lose a game. Right. I was waiting. I knew it was coming.
Right, right, right.
He goes, man, I didn't even come close to losing last year at LSU. And then I come here, man. Yeah, welcome to being the first pick on a bad team.
Right.
This is what you get. But I will tell you, if you watched him play, knowing that his offensive line is not very good, and they struggle, and honestly, his receivers are very average. A.J. Green, anybody that gives A.J. Green a long-term contract, what is he, 30 or 31 now? And at one point, we talked about as one of the two or three best receivers. The injuries and age, he's just a guy. I watched him run routes last night when they isolated on him, and I went, wow, can't run by anybody.
Nope.
Just, and it's part of football father time, and it got him.
Right.
And I know he's trying to get a long-term contract. He was trying to get it through Joe Burrow, who said he really wanted him, and they're trying to keep Joe Burrow happy so he didn't John Elway him and Eli Manning them. But can't play. Joe Burrow's going to be really, really good. I only saw him last night,
right.
And I think the announcers, I think, all said the same thing. Anybody that watched the game, he had some balls dropped, but like he, you want to talk about no separation, the throws he has to make. I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, had a little bit of that problem too, trying to get some guys open a little bit, but and end up being a decent game. I know probably more important to fantasy people last night than it was to me. But just wanted to see a little bit of what both teams look like as Cleveland ends up winning that game 35-30. But there was, I guess, some good fantasy football stuff, right, last night for guys?
Nick Chubb went for 124 yards and two touchdowns. Kareem Hunt had 86 yards rushing and a touchdown. He also, I believe, had a receiving touchdown last night. Odell Beckham woke up a little bit last night, 74 yards, four catches, and a touchdown. And on the other side of the ball, if you had Burrow, you got 300 yards and three touchdowns, no picks. So that's a good game out of him. And Tyler Boyd, the wide receiver, had 72 yards and a touchdown. But like you said, A.J. Green, three catches, 29 yards, and looks average at best. And he got drafted in a lot of leagues, too. He's the only other guy, I would say. Jarvis Landry also had 3 for 46, a nothing game. But, yeah, he and Joe Mixon, a nothing game. 46 yards, no touchdowns, rushing. I don't even think he had a catch. He had a couple catches for 40 yards. That's it. Like, it was nothing. Like, that Bengals team, you're right. It's Joe Burrow and everyone else.
If I was people and I had Cleveland Brown receivers, I'd be a little worried.
I am
because
worried. Right.
They want to run the football, man. If you know the background of their head coach, this is what ran one guy to Buffalo. They don't want they don't want to throw it a lot. They like Baker Mayfield going 16 of 23.
Right.
They like games like a couple of touchdowns, no picks, and they want a Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, who both got contracts. They want to get those guys involved. And last night they combined to go for, 200 plus yards.
Right.
And joined the Dolphins as far as teams that give it up to somebody like the Patriots did. But
yeah, well, Joe, their quarterback is extremely limited, which is probably another issue why they don't throw the football.
That's a funny shot, but like, I'm just telling you, if you go back, Minnesota.
Yeah, no. Against the Bengals, I'm sure like he's going to look great, but you know.
All that matters is what happened. What have you done for me lately? And last night he was 16 of 23 for two touchdowns, a pick, and a win.
Oh, he made some nice throws. Now listen, right. he did make some good throws, and you're right. It's Cincinnati. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just telling you their philosophy of that head coach. If you watch what he did last year, when all the drama started and the receivers started bitching. Hey, we're throwing the ball a little bit too much. And a guy coming down here this week, Diggs, was one of the guys that wasn't happy with the new offense. If anybody's got a short memory out there from last year, he's happy now, man. Buffalo is throwing the hell out of the ball. And now the Dolphins get to see that show. We're going to talk to Bobby McCain, speaking of that show, coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to give old Bobby a shot, see if we can get that phone working. We've been, I don't know. The phones don't seem as good as they used to be, these cell phones, in the cars and stuff, man. I don't know exactly what that's all about. Anyway, we got the Canes and Cardinals. How much fun is Saturday night going to be? The Canes and the Cardinals, and not just that, but the Heat and the Celtics, game three. I mean, if you got a little Canes and Heat in you, that's going to be a fun night, man, to see what happens. I have no idea. Especially game two for the Canes, and they're going to be stepping up in competition. Cardinals will be stepping up in competition as well to see what this is going to look like. And I have one question. Can the Canes secondary, can they get a good enough pass rush that Smith, Fitzpatrick, and Atwell don't go off on them with big plays from Cunningham throwing the ball? Can they cover? I just what I've seen. I still don't know how good the Miami Hurricane secondary is. I know we talk about the young linebackers and we talk about I want to know if those guys can cover down the field. And I know a lot of it's going to be predicated to what they can do with the pass rush, but do they have enough guys to cover these receivers who look to be the strength of their team? And two big plays, 63 and 70-yard play. And again, I know the competition's not the same as Miami, but they have been a big play team, and how will you do against that? And, of course, the other one is going to be for the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. And first thing is, before we talk about anything else, they got to stop the run. I mean, before we get to anything else, the Bills would love nothing more than not have to throw it 40 times for 350 yards and just say, because everything's copycat. They would love to run the ball. And they're going, Cam just did this. Jason, why don't you do it too? Right. Let's put in some of those plays. Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, will dial up some of that stuff. I remember a play they ran last year. So funny. I was just thinking last night about some of the Bills, really, especially down here. One of the few games where the Dolphins, once they got rolling, got kicked around pretty good, was against the Bills, who really put it on them. They got a really good defense. But I still remember Jason Allen out of shotgun taking the ball and just taking off running to the outside like that third running back. One of those old Cam plays
right. That
he used to run with Carolina with two running backs out in front of him running wide. And I'm just thinking, well, here we go. They're going to be trying to attack the outside. There's no question they are going to try to attack the outside and see what kind of adjustments they can make, because I don't know if – are they the two biggest and most physical running quarterbacks we have in the NFL?
I think if you look
– I was looking through going, like, they're kind of – those are the two,
yeah.
Right? We've had some other quarterbacks can run, but they're not like, I'll run over you if I have to, too, or try to at 240 or 250 pounds, whatever those two. They are big, strong dudes, man. So more at it.
Both those guys are huge compared to some of the other quarterbacks.
He's gotten a lot better, man. And they love him as a leader. I mean, you talk about a perfect guy to go to Buffalo that looks like he really likes it. We're seeing him get better. They went out and got him another weapon. Brown and Diggs all of a sudden is a pretty damn good combination of wide receivers, the two guys that can run deep. So, hey, you know what matchups that could mean this week, and those should be fun, man. Miami and their two cover corners going against those two.
Right.
Looking forward to that. Hey, I'm looking forward to switching it back to the roots, man, the roots of South Florida. Larry Bluestein's going to join us at 7 o'clock. Bobby McCain's going to follow that. Get the baton. We'll hand it off early 7 o'clock hour as well. So jump into some high school, jump into some pro football stuff. And then, of course, we will not forget about that game last night. How can you? The Heat up 2-0 on the Celtics. Another wild, crazy finish with all the plays being made by the Miami Heat, by guys named Dragon and Jimmy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.